Today is a holiday. You didn't know that when you woke up. But today is Tu B'Shevat. And the 15th day of Shabbat, that means. It's like saying the 4th of July. What is the 4th of July? It's the 4th day of the month of July, right? But it also means Independence Day in America. Well, Tu B'Shevat is the 15th day of the month of Shabbat, or the New Year's Day for trees. To be or not to be Shabbat? That is the question. What does that mean, New Year's Day for trees? Today's New Year. Happy New Year, tree. Happy New Year. Do all the cedars and pines get together and make resolutions to improve themselves and dip apples in honey? Of course not. They don't do that. To be Shabbat is technically the day when the trees stop absorbing water from the ground and instead draw nourishment from their sap. Remember, we're talking about the trees in Israel. In Jewish law, this means that fruit which has blossomed prior to the 15th day of Shabbat could not be used as a tithe for fruit which blossomed after that date. So it's like the end of one year's fruit, the beginning of the next year's fruit. So what relevance does that have to all of us? In various places, the Torah compares a person to a tree. Deuteronomy 20:19, a person is like the tree of a field. Isaiah 65:22, for as the days of a tree shall be, the days of my people. Jeremiah 17:8, he will be like a tree planted near water. Where else is that? Psalm 1. A tree needs four basic elements to survive. A tree needs soil, needs water, air, and fire, or sun, right? Human beings also require those same basic elements. So let's look at them. Soil, a tree needs to be planted firmly in the earth. The soil is not the only source through which nourishment is absorbed, but also provides room for the roots to grow. This is true of a person as well. If you read in the Talmud, it says, a person whose wisdom exceeds his good deeds is likened to a tree whose branches are numerous, but whose roots are few. The wind comes and uproots it and turns it upside down. But a person whose good deeds exceed his wisdom is likened to a tree whose branches are few, but whose roots are numerous. Even if all the winds of the world were to come and blow against it, they could not budge it from its place. A person can appear successful on the outside with full branches, a fancy car, but if the roots are few, if there is little connection to one's community and to one's heritage, then life can send challenges that are impossible to withstand. A strong wind can turn a tree upside down. A person alone is vulnerable to trends and fads that may lead to despair and destruction. But if a person, irrespective of wealth and status, is connected to community, to mishpocha, and heritage, then even if all the winds of the world were to come and blow against it, they could not budge it from its place. Wow. Humans require a strong home base, don't they? Where values and morals are absorbed, and which provides a supportive growth environment. In a world rife with negativity, we need a filter, a safe haven to return to and refresh. A community provides an impervious shield. The soil where we can be ourselves, we can make our mistakes, and still be accepted and loved and nourished. This congregation, membership in it says, I belong. We gave some membership certificates out last week. These people took a stand and said, this is where I belong. This is my community. This is where my roots will be. This is where I will grow. I will not grow if my roots are not solid foundation. If your foundation is solid, you ain't going to grow. How many Christmas trees do you see growing? No, none. After they're cut down. Water is absorbed in the ground through rain and through an elaborate system of roots, and is carried throughout the trunk, branches, and leaves of a tree. Without water, the tree will wither and die, right? The Torah is compared to water. You knew I was getting to that. As Moses proclaims in Deuteronomy 32:2, may my teaching drop like the rain. Well, there it is. Both rain and Torah descend from heaven. Where did we get the Torah from? God. And provide relief to thirsty and parched people. The Torah flows down from God and has been absorbed by Jews in every generation. Torah gives zest and vitality to your spirit, to the human spirit. A life based on Torah will blossom with wisdom and good deeds. You don't see anybody studying Torah during the day and robbing banks at night, do you? No. Or 7-Elevens. Deprived of water, a person will become hydrated. A person will become dehydrated and ultimately disoriented, even to the point where they may not even be able to recognize their own father. So too, without Torah, a person becomes disoriented to the extent that they may not even recognize their Father in heaven, the Almighty God of Israel. Without Torah, how can you know the Father? It's impossible. A tree needs air to survive, right? The air contains something called oxygen. A tree needs for respiration and carbon dioxide for photosynthesis. In an imbalanced atmosphere, the tree would suffocate and would die. The Torah, Genesis 2:7, states that God breathed life into the form of man. The Hebrew word for breath is neshama. It's the same word that we use for soul, neshama. Our spiritual life force comes metaphorically by way of air and respiration. We use our sense of taste, our sense of touch, sight to perceive physical matter. Even hearing involves the perception of sound waves. But smelling is the most spiritual of senses, since the least physical matter is involved. As the Talmud says, smell is that which the soul benefits from and the body does not. In the Holy Temple, the incense offering, the sense of smell was elevated to a once-a-year Yom Kippur offering into the Holy of Holies, was it not? The Talmud says that even when Messiah comes, he will smell and judge. That is, he will use his spiritual sensitivity to determine the truth about complex matters. And let's look at fire. Sunlight. A tree needs that to survive. The absorption of energy from the light activates the process of photosynthesis, a chemical reaction that is essential for the growth and health of a tree. Humans also need fire. We need warmth to survive. Go outside for an hour, the way you're dressed now, and tell me if you need warmth to survive, or we'll come and get you. This is the warmth, but the warmth I'm talking about is not that. I'm not talking about your coat. I'm talking about the warmth of friendship and community again. Mishpocha, family. People absorb the energy of peers. They absorb the energy of friends, families, neighbors, and associates, and channel that into identity, into actions. All the essential observances and ceremonies of Judaism are based on family and community, from the celebration of birth all the way through the attainment of maturity, marriage, education, and even death. It's all a family affair, and the family gets with the community to do that. They all worship together. The power of community is illustrated in this following story from the Talmud. An old man was planting a tree. A young person passed by and asked, "What are you planting?" And he said, "A carob tree." "Silly fool," said the youth, "do you not know that it takes 70 years for a carob tree to bear fruit?" "That's okay," said the old man. "Just as others planted for me, I plant for future generations. This year on Tu Bi Shavat, as you're gnawing on a slab of carob," I wonder if anybody brought any carob. It's a great substitute for chocolate, actually. It's chocolate without calories, without... It's like a vegetable, but chocolate's a vegetable too. It grows on a tree. It's a bean. It has to be a vegetable. Anyway, getting off the topic. Am I getting the ask yourself this when you're chewing on your chocolate or carob or whatever it is you're chewing on. Am I getting the spiritual food and shelter I need to survive? Or is my tree being blown down by the forces of information overload and rampant materialism? Am I part of a strong community, providing a warm and nurturing environment, or am I cast into the pale, bleak anonymity of urban life in cyberspace? Am I looking to future generations knowing that I'm providing them with the proper foundation for their lives? I don't know what a strong family is. I never had one. Mine always wandered around. I guess we were wandering Jews. And they were scattered all over the world. Even today, my family is scattered all over. I got a daughter in Peoria, wherever that is. It's in Illinois, isn't it? I got five brothers and sisters who are like stepbrothers and sisters, but they're half-brothers and sisters, but they all live in Florida. And, you know, I have a stepmother who lives in New Jersey. That's my family. That's all that's left. And I have family in Israel, Brazil, Australia, Virginia, California, France. And I have a couple in Omaha. We try to keep it together here, though. Adat is my family. This is my mishpocha. You are my family. We are trying to build a family here. We're trying to build a community here. You're part of that community. When you come here every week, you're saying, I'm part of that community. Aren't you tired of wandering around looking from place to place? Don't you want to be someone's aunt or uncle? Wouldn't you like to kind of put down roots somewhere and stop being a frivolous old Christmas tree and start being a real tree planted by water? This month, Shavuot is related to the Hebrew word for staff or rod. A staff can be used as a symbol of power or as a cane to lean on, as I often do. It serves a master. There is an underlying theme of this month. The constellation, I'm going to do some little astrology kind of stuff here. The constellation associated with Shavuot is the water bucket. This symbol also represents an object that serves someone. A water bucket, what does it do? It draws water. In secular astrology, the symbol is not the bucket, but the carrier. This is one out of two out of the 12 signs of what they call the zodiac that differ slightly from secular astrology signs. The symbolism of the water bucket is very important. A bucket has but one function, one design, and purpose. It's to draw and carry water. That is, it's to be a vessel of transmission. It doesn't do anything else. Its whole essence is one of serving. It's a servant. It is not an end unto itself. It's meant to be a vehicle for something else. It's just the transporter, right? It's the Teamsters of something. Water in many places throughout Jewish thought is a metaphor for the wisdom of Torah. There are a number of qualities that water has which are conceptually parallel to the Torah. One of the qualities of water is that it always flows to the lowest spot. Try flowing water upstream. You can't do it. How is this parallel to Torah? The outpouring of wisdom that comes from God rests on the most humble personality. The lowest spot. The more selfless a person is, the more wisdom flows towards him. If a person devotes himself to ideals, to living truth, to helping others, then he becomes a vessel fitting to receive the Torah's wisdom. The sign that we're talking about is known as Aquarius, the water bucket. This is, used to be the age of Aquarius, but it moved over on the year 2001 to the age of Pisces. How do I know all that? Well, it's my sign, because you know, my birthday's coming up. It's a sign of the Jewish people, though, also. Just as a person is designated by a sign of the zodiac, so too nations have a sign designated to them. Believe me, astrology is in the Bible, and it was preached and taught long before the world made something bad out of it. And now people stay away from it because they think it's bad. Now I'm talking about the stuff that they do. That's bad stuff that they use it for. But there are things when God said to look to the stars and to the heavens because there'll be signs and wonders. There's some meaning there that got lost. And so I don't discount the stars or the sky. The natural element is associated with Shabbat is called wind. Out of the four elements we talked about, wind, earth, water, and fire, wind is the least tangible. It often acts as a conduit for other things. It transports moisture and brings seedlings and other particles of nature from one location to another. If you want a good description of that, read the first 200 pages of the book called Hawaii by James Michener. He talks about a seed being transported from one part of the earth to the other, and it takes him 200 pages to describe it. It is really boring. But that's the way James Michener wrote. Earth, wind, and water, and fire, earth, fire, and water are more important for what they are than for what they do. The tribe of Asher is associated with Shabbat. Asher in Hebrew grammar connects the essence of a sentence to a verb. It supports the subject. This is another example of Shabbat's relationship to being subordinate to a master. So all of these points suggest that the month of Shabbat is prone to be a conduit for us, a stepping stone to the next step of our lives. Many things in a person's life can be looked at from two viewpoints. One view looks at the act itself. The other view is how the act is a means to an end. For example, I enjoy swimming. I swim almost every day I can, 3-4 times a week. I also use my daily swim as a way of keeping myself physically healthy. It's become my aerobics because, you know, I can't run anymore. Gives my whole life more enjoyment, allows me to serve God with more vigor and joy. You know, the second viewpoint is not a contradiction of the first. It is added, more elevated outlook that makes my swimming more powerful spiritual experience. The letter which is associated with Shabbat is the Tzadi. The letter Tzadi, T-S, otherwise known as the Tzadik. The word in Hebrew also means righteous one. One of the qualities of a Tzadik is that he uses all of his activities for a higher purpose. When he eats, it is not just to enjoy the food. He eats in order to better serve his Creator. The Talmud says a righteous person eats to satisfy his soul. Coincidentally, the human attribute associated with Shabbat is eating. We're talking about fruit. What do you do with fruit? Throw them at neighbors? This daily experience is connected with the first commandment that God gave Adam and Eve, not to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Through eating, we have a daily opportunity. We can do this every day. We can correct a part of our soul so deep and intrinsic that it reaches back to the Garden of Eden. You can undo what they did. Shabbat is a month to focus on this idea of using your normal daily behavior, what you do every day, as a medium for spirituality. This month, think through your work, your play, your exercise, your eating, your reading, etc., and focus on the spiritual side of them. Think about your community, a dot, and your role in it. Think about how you're helping your neighbors, how you're relating to your mishpocha. Think about those things. You know, Judaism gives you, the Torah gives us all these laws about following kosher and all that stuff. What do you think the purpose of all that is? The purpose of those laws is to elevate man onto another level, that being different than animals. If we ate everything we wanted to that was in front of us, we'd be like animals. Animals do that. Dogs eat whatever you give them. Human beings can decide what they should eat and what they shouldn't. And I think that's a point of being kosher that's often overlooked, is that we are elevating the mere act of eating, which is an animal instinct, into a totally religious experience. We're getting closer to our God by what we put into our holy temples, our bodies. And we do that through the process of eating, which is a very basic thing. In Tubi Shabbat, you eat fruits from the seven species of which the land of Israel is praised In Deuteronomy 8:8, it says it's a land of wheat and barley, and grapevines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and dates or honey, date honey. Normally, they even have a Seder that they do. On Tu B'Shevat, they drink different kinds of wine, and they eat all the fruit and stuff like that, and they have blessings. This is a blessing you probably never heard, but you know it pretty much. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech Ha'olam. That's how they all go, right? And then Borei Peri Ha'etz. Instead of saying Ha'gafen, which is creator of the fruit of the vine, we say, who creates the fruit of the tree. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the tree. Next time you eat a fruit, say that. Baruch atah Adonai. You could memorize this right now. Eloheinu melech olam, borei peri ha'etz. The word for tree is etz, right? The tree, ha'etz. You know the other parts from our wine drinking days. It's our old wine drinking song. Borei peri ha'gafen, and we all get drunk. We do that every month here. We get drunk. On Tu B'Shevat, it's also customary on this day to eat a new fruit, that is a seasonal fruit that you have not tasted this year, and to say the following. So go out to the store today and get yourself an ugly or a mango or one of them things that nobody ever eats. And then say this prayer. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehechianu v'kiyamanu v'higianu lazman hazeh. You remember that, right? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who kept us alive, sustained us, and brought us to this season. Amen. The Torah admonishes us not to destroy anything needlessly, even when besieging an enemy city. Fruit trees cannot be destroyed. So if they're in war, they got to be walking around the fruit trees. Can't destroy one. I mean it. The Jews have rules when they fight. Can you imagine going up against a bunch of Palestinians hidden behind a fruit tree? They couldn't even shoot at them. If the Palestinians ever found this out, they'd be planting fruit trees all over the land. Yeah. The Torah tells us that human beings are like the trees of the field. I think I said that. Deuteronomy 20:19. Our roots are securely embedded in terra firma. Our first experience with reality are physical and tangible. Then we grow beyond our roots. We extend our branches towards the heaven as we search for connection and meaning. We devote our lives to the production of fruit, don't we? We yearn to leave an enduring mark so that we too were here. Kilroy was here. A tzaddik, a holy person, is compared to an inverted tree. He draws his sustenance from the heavens. His roots are sticking up. And he gives his fruit to the earth and to anyone who is of the earth. That's a righteous person. We all wish for lives. Just think of Peter. He got crucified upside down. That'd be like a tzaddik, you know, giving his roots to heaven and planting his fruit on the ground. Just think of that. We all wish for lives of substance, but we grow weary. The mystic scholars ask, how does the tzaddik draw its strength? The answer is that he draws his strength from the tree of life. What is the tree of life? The answer lies in the Garden of Eden, where there were two trees. There was the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. When Adam and Eve were banished from paradise, angels armed with fiery swords prevented them from returning to the tree of life. The literal meaning of Eden is Garden of Refinement. The inherent link between God and his creation are apparent there. There was no shell of coarseness, no human superficiality or human arrogance to conceal him. All of nature revealed its source. The tree of life was in the center of the garden. It gave us the spiritual nurture that made us not only human, but also enabled us to be holy. It had the power to do so because it was the mystic embodiment of the Torah. And before that holy book was put into words, we no longer live in a world characterized by refinement. Instead of being nurtured by the tree of life, we are all too conscious of the taste left by the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That other tree offered us the desire for evil that is as vivid as our desire for good. Tubi Shavuot is the day when we learn once more how to cultivate ourselves. How do we tap into the power of the day? Okay, so let's look at the structure of the day in Jewish thinking. First, this is the traditional day that God instructed Moses to begin the process of explaining the Torah very well. It was in Deuteronomy 27:8. What aspect of Moses' explanation does it refer to? Rashi, our great Jewish commentator, teaches that the words very well mean that Moses explained the Torah in 70 languages. Wow. The depth of his teaching is that it's possible to find the truth of Torah from any possible way of looking at life, as long as we remain honest. Yet our emotional agendas sometimes fool us, doesn't they? We think we're searching for the tree of life, but we wouldn't see it if it poked a branch directly at us. We're too busy looking at everything else. We are, after all, only human beings. We've already partaken of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and find it almost impossible at times to tell the two trees apart. It is for this reason that the sages of the Talmud tell us that on this day we should pray for a good esrog. An esrog is one of the four species that are taken and blessed on Sukkot, the tabernacle's feast. Yet Sukkot had already faded into the past, so why are we thinking of an esrog? Because of its shape, the esrog represents the symbol of the heart. Remember? This is the day we can pray for purity of the heart. We are fragile and fail, but the power of prayer can move us to its source, to infinity, to God. It can give us the access to the tree of life. A rule that your grandmother may have told you is when you ask for something, be sure that you want it. And if you really want something, what are you doing about it? On Tubi Shavuot, we ask, do we really want purity of our hearts? We demonstrate our sincerity for a pure heart and our search for the tree of life by not corrupting our physical experience. One way to do this is to change our attitude to food, since eating is the most primal of our physical desires. We consume an enormous amount of food in our lifetimes. It is part of God's plan to let us come into contact with his kindness and generosity, and what we eat and the way we relate to eating impacts the way we experience life. God is either in the picture or he's out of it. On Tubi Shavuot, we redefine how we regard the world by committing to sanctity our eating. We try to eat less impulsively and more with higher awareness. The striving is articulated in many communities because they sit down and have a Tubi Shavuot Seder. At such a Seder, fruit is eaten. And there's a custom of eating 15 different types of fruit because this is the 15th day of Shavuot, right? While savoring the fruits, they try to envision their root, the source of all life. Let yourself savor the spiritual essence of the land of Israel by eating its produce. And so, you know, let me tell you something about Yeshua here. I'm sure there's something in here about Yeshua. Well, there's an olive tree that's spoken of in the Tanakh and in the Brit Chadashah, the Renewed Covenant. It is a remarkable tree in the land of the Bible. Israel is the olive tree, is still the most important of all trees because it is a source of food, it is a source of light, it is a source of healing. Olive trees thrive under the most adverse conditions. They will live and produce fruit despite heat, dryness, cold, wetness, rocky or sandy soil. It's been said that you can never kill an olive tree. When I was in Jerusalem, I saw an olive tree that was 2,000 years old in the Garden of Gethsemane. Guess who else saw that tree? Some guy that lived 2,000 years ago. The name was not Nate. Right, Peter and Yeshua. If we're like the olive tree, we can thrive despite the conditions of life we face. So we should identify as an olive tree. The olive tree is a symbol of Israel in the Holy Scriptures. In the New Covenant in Romans chapter 11, we read a beautiful metaphor about the relationship between the Jewish people and the church. The Bible tells us that true Christians are those who have been grafted in to a Jewish olive tree. Consider the following verses from Romans 11. I want to read them to you, where the apostle Rabbi Shaul is speaking to the Gentiles about the Jewish people. These are verses 15 through 21 and 23 through 24. And For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, see, some of the Jews got kicked out of their own tree. And you, a wild olive branch, got grafted in their place, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Do not boast against the branches, because if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but that the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree? It'll be amazing. It'll be glorious. It'll be awesome. I'm very blessed because God didn't cut me off that tree. He left the remnant. So I can imagine what it'll be like for them to come back to their tree. Oh God, let God plant you today. His salvation is for all men, Jew and Gentile alike. Repent of your sins and bring forth the kingdom of God, according to Matthew 3:8. New life begins at a tree where Yeshua gave his life for you and for me. Believe in him and be blessed. Once you have trusted in Yeshua for your salvation, you can lift your branches high and give the Lord a wave offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll even feel like a tree when you do. Let's give him a wave offering. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Look at that. Hallelujah. Okay. It's been good talking to you.